Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present British Virgin Islands Episode 2, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 5, Slave Rebellions and the Fight for Freedom. The Burden of Oppression, Life Under British Rule. Following the establishment of British rule in the Virgin Islands and the rise of the plantation economy, enslaved Africans found themselves trapped in a brutal and oppressive system. The plantation system relied entirely on forced labor, subjecting enslaved men, women, and children to unimaginable cruelty. Days were spent laboring under the Caribbean sun, cultivating sugarcane, cotton, and other cash crops that lined the pockets of European merchants and colonial elites. British law enforced the dominance of white planters and traders over the enslaved, restricting movement, communication, and economic opportunities. The slave codes, established in the 17th and 18th centuries, were designed to suppress uprisings and prevent the enslaved population from organizing. These laws prevented enslaved Africans from gathering in large numbers, possessing weapons, or learning to read and write. Despite these restrictions, resistance was never extinguished. Early acts of resistance, the seeds of rebellion. Resistance among the enslaved population in the Virgin Islands took many forms, from passive defiance to full-scale revolts. Acts of resistance included work slowdowns. Enslaved laborers deliberately worked at a slower pace as an act of defiance against their enslavers. Sabotage. Some engaged in acts of sabotage such as breaking tools, damaging crops, or setting fires to plantations. Maroonage. Enslaved individuals who escaped would often form maroon communities in the island's remote and mountainous regions, creating self-sustaining settlements outside the reach of the colonial authorities. Spiritual and cultural resistance. African traditions, religious practices, and music became powerful tools for maintaining identity and resisting the dehumanization of slavery. Despite the harsh penalties imposed by British colonial administrators, the flame of rebellion burned bright among the enslaved, and by the late 18th and early 19th centuries, full-scale uprisings began to erupt across the Caribbean, including the Virgin Islands. The 1790s, a turning point in Caribbean rebellions. The latter half of the 18th century saw an increase in slave revolts throughout the British and French Caribbean. Inspired by the success of the Haitian Revolution, 1791 to 1804, which led to the abolition of slavery in Saint-Domingue, present-day Haiti, enslaved individuals across the region saw an opportunity to challenge their own subjugation. In the British Virgin Islands, tensions escalated as enslaved workers learned of uprisings in nearby islands, including Antigua, St. Kitts, and Jamaica. News of the French Revolution, which preached liberty, equality, and fraternity, also made its way to the islands, further fueling revolutionary sentiments among the enslaved population. The 1823 Uprising, an attempt at freedom. One of the most significant rebellions in the Virgin Islands took place in 1823, led by enslaved laborers on Tortola. The revolt was meticulously planned, involving enslaved men and women who had grown weary of their oppressive conditions. Though ultimately suppressed by colonial authorities, this act of defiance sent shockwaves throughout the region. Causes of the revolt. Harsh working conditions. The backbreaking labor in sugarcane plantations with little to no reprieve fueled deep resentment. Physical abuse and punishment. Routine whippings, beatings, and executions were common, leading to widespread anger. Hope for freedom. The Haitian Revolution and abolitionist movements in Europe inspired enslaved workers to believe that freedom was possible. The suppression of the rebellion. The British colonial forces, assisted by local militia groups, swiftly cracked down on the uprising. Leaders of the revolt were captured, tortured, and publicly executed to serve as a warning to others. Despite this violent suppression, the resistance movements did not fade. Instead, they grew stronger. the role of abolitionists and external pressure. By the early 19th century, the British abolitionist movement had gained traction. Campaigns led by figures such as William Wilberforce, Granville Sharp, and Thomas Clarkson pressured the British Parliament to reconsider its policies on slavery. The horrors of the transatlantic slave trade and the conditions in the Caribbean colonies were exposed through testimonies from former enslaved people and missionaries working in the region. The combination of economic inefficiency, growing slave revolts, and moral arguments against slavery led to the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833, which officially ended slavery across the British Empire. The Great Day, August 1, 1834. On August 1, 1834, the enslaved population of the Virgin Islands and other British territories received their long-awaited freedom. The day was marked by celebrations, religious gatherings, and mixed emotions. While some rejoiced, others remained cautious, aware that the struggle for true equality was far from over. However, freedom did not mean immediate independence. The British introduced the apprenticeship system, which required former enslaved individuals to continue working for their former masters for a specified number of years. This system was widely resented and was ultimately abolished in 1838, granting full emancipation to all. Post-emancipation challenges and the legacy of resistance. Following emancipation, the newly freed population faced significant obstacles. Economic hardships. Many former enslaved people had little to no resources or land, making economic independence difficult. Continued racial discrimination. British colonial rule ensured that economic and political power remained in the hands of former plantation owners and European elites. Formation of free communities. Despite challenges, freed individuals established their own communities, churches, and businesses, shaping the cultural and social fabric of the Virgin Islands. Conclusion: a legacy of defiance and strength. The history of slave resistance in the British Virgin Islands is one of courage, resilience, and an unyielding fight for justice. Enslaved individuals did not passively accept their oppression. They fought in ways both large and small, contributing to the eventual abolition of slavery in the Caribbean. The echoes of their resistance can still be felt today in the cultural heritage, traditions, and spirit of the Virgin Islands people. The descendants of those who fought for freedom continue to honor their legacy, ensuring that their struggles and sacrifices are never forgotten. As we move into the next chapter, we will explore the post-emancipation period, economic struggles, and the slow journey toward political autonomy in the Virgin Islands. Chapter 6, Abolition and the Aftermath, the Transition from Slavery to Freedom. A momentous turning point, the road to abolition. The abolition of slavery in the British Virgin Islands in 1834 was not an overnight change, but the culmination of decades of resistance, rebellion, and activism. The enslaved population had fought tirelessly through revolts, escape, and subtle acts of defiance, while abolitionists in Britain lobbied against the inhumanity of the transatlantic slave trade. The passage of the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833 signaled the beginning of a new era, but true freedom was still a distant reality. The British government, fearing economic instability and backlash from planters, implemented the apprenticeship system, which required former slaves to continue working for their previous owners for a fixed period before they could attain full freedom. The conditions of apprenticeship mirrored slavery in many ways, leading to widespread dissatisfaction and further resistance. It was not until 1838 that the system was finally abolished, granting complete emancipation to all former slaves in the British Virgin Islands. Economic devastation and the collapse of the plantation economy. For the British planters and colonial elites, the end of slavery signified the unraveling of their economic dominance. The sugarcane-based plantation economy had thrived on the free labor of enslaved Africans, and without them, many plantations became unsustainable. Some landowners attempted to coerce freed men and women into working for extremely low wages, while others abandoned their estates entirely, leading to a shift in land ownership patterns. The colonial administration struggled to adjust to the changing landscape. The British government provided financial compensation, not to the formerly enslaved, but to the planters who had lost their property. Many freed individuals, lacking land and resources, found themselves at the mercy of exploitative labor contracts, unable to fully escape economic hardship. The social fabric of the post-emancipation era. The transition from slavery to freedom created a deeply stratified society, where power remained concentrated in the hands of the white colonial elite, while the majority of the population, descendants of the formerly enslaved, faced systemic barriers to progress. Some of the major social changes included formation of free villages. Freed people sought to establish their own communities, separate from the plantations that had once enslaved them. Settlements such as Cane Garden Bay and East End emerged as hubs of self-sufficiency, with residents building homes, churches, and schools. Religious influence. Missionary societies played a significant role in education and community building. Churches became places not just of worship, but of literacy and political organization. Educational struggles. While abolitionists had pushed for schooling opportunities, access to education for the Black population remained limited. The colonial administration feared that literacy and education would lead to political activism, and thus, many freed people had to rely on missionary-led initiatives for learning. Political changes and the fight for representation. Although freed men and women were no longer legally bound to servitude, political representation remained out of reach. The British colonial government maintained a system in which power was concentrated in the hands of British-appointed governors and local white elites, leaving the majority of the population without a voice in governance. In the years following emancipation, the Virgin Islands remained under the broader jurisdiction of the Leeward Islands Colony, which grouped several Caribbean islands under a single administration. This arrangement further marginalized local decision-making, as policies were dictated from Britain and implemented by colonial officials who often had little concern for the needs of the newly freed population. Labor and economic hardships in the post-slavery period. With the collapse of the plantation economy, many freed individuals sought alternative means of survival. Some of the key economic shifts included subsistence farming. Many former slaves turned to small-scale farming, growing provisions like yams, cassava, and plantains. However, access to fertile land was limited, as much of it remained under the control of white landowners. Fisheries and maritime trade. The Virgin Islands' location made fishing and seafaring viable economic options. Many turned to boat building, trade, and fishing to sustain their families. Migration. In search of better opportunities, many Virgin Islanders emigrated to nearby islands such as the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, and the United States Virgin Islands. Resistance against colonial oppression. While slavery had been abolished, colonial oppression persisted in new forms. Laws and regulations continued to favor the landowning elite, and Black Virgin Islanders faced legal and economic discrimination. However, resistance remained strong. Formerly enslaved individuals and their descendants fought for fair wages and land ownership. Movements arose demanding access to land and fair compensation for labor. Voting rights and political representation. Throughout the 19th and early 20th centuries, activists called for greater political participation. Cultural preservation. Despite colonial efforts to suppress African traditions, elements of African heritage survived through storytelling, music, and religious practices. The long road to self-governance. The struggles of the post-emancipation period laid the groundwork for future political and social movements. The inequalities that persisted in the wake of abolition fueled demands for greater autonomy and self-rule. The British Virgin Islands would not see major shifts in political independence until the 20th century, but the seeds of change were sown in the decades following emancipation. By the early 1900s, local leaders began advocating for improved governance structures, increased representation, and economic reforms. These efforts would eventually lead to the political and constitutional advancements that shaped modern-day governance in the British Virgin Islands. Conclusion: the legacy of abolition. The transition from slavery to freedom in the British Virgin Islands was not a seamless one. Economic instability, social divisions, and continued colonial control created immense challenges for the formerly enslaved population. Yet, through resilience and determination, they carved out new lives, forming communities, preserving their cultural heritage, and laying the foundation for future generations to fight for justice and equality. As the Virgin Islands moved further away from the shackles of slavery, a new battle emerged: the struggle for economic empowerment and political self-determination. In the next chapter, we will explore the impact of 20th-century economic and political transformations, leading to greater autonomy and the formation of modern-day governance in the British Virgin Islands. Chapter 7: Hurricanes, Hardships, and the Fight for Self-Governance. Introduction: the struggle for stability. The post-emancipation era in the British Virgin Islands, BVI, was marked by economic uncertainty, social challenges, and political stagnation under British colonial rule. As the freed population sought to build independent livelihoods, their efforts were frequently disrupted by natural disasters, poor governance, and lack of economic opportunity. In particular, hurricanes played a devastating role in shaping the lives of Virgin Islanders, repeatedly dismantling homes, farmlands, and infrastructure. The slow response from the British administration, coupled with the persistence of systemic economic hardships, fueled the growing demand for self-governance and a more resilient future for the territory. Hurricanes and their impact on the BVI. The British Virgin Islands, like much of the Caribbean, has long been vulnerable to hurricanes. These storms, fueled by the warm waters of the Atlantic, have historically caused widespread destruction, exacerbating economic struggles and prolonging the hardships of the island's residents. The Great Hurricane of 1867, one of the most devastating hurricanes to strike the Virgin Islands, occurred in 1867. The storm wreaked havoc across the archipelago, destroying homes, crops, and local businesses. The aftermath left the population in dire conditions, with many struggling to rebuild. The hurricane also crippled the local agricultural economy, further reinforcing the Virgin Islands' dependence on British aid and trade. In the years following, it became increasingly clear that colonial authorities were either unwilling or unable to provide the necessary support to help the island recover effectively. The 1924 hurricane and the colonial response. Nearly 60 years later, another powerful hurricane struck the islands in 1924, further exposing the fragile state of the BVI's infrastructure. The hurricane left thousands homeless, and the slow response from the British colonial administration deepened frustration among local leaders and residents. The economic hardship that followed prompted many to seek opportunities abroad, leading to a significant wave of migration to the Dominican Republic, the United States Virgin Islands, and the United States. Economic hardships and the agricultural decline. By the early 20th century, the traditional agricultural economy of the British Virgin Islands was in steep decline. The collapse of the sugarcane industry, which had once been the economic backbone of the territory, left many without stable employment. The British government did little to diversify the economy, and the islands suffered from high unemployment and poverty. Shifts in agricultural production. After the abolition of slavery, small-scale farming replaced large plantations, but this transition was not without its challenges. Formerly enslaved individuals and their descendants faced limited access to fertile land, and they struggled to compete with larger Caribbean agricultural economies. Hurricanes and droughts frequently wiped out crops, making farming an unreliable source of income. Dependence on remittances. As economic opportunities dwindled, migration became a common solution. Many Virgin Islanders left in search of work, sending remittances back to their families. These financial contributions helped sustain those who remained, but they also highlighted the BVI's dependence on external economic sources, a trend that would continue into the modern era. The road to self-governance. Amidst these hardships, the people of the British Virgin Islands began to push for greater self-governance. Colonial rule, marked by British administrators making decisions without local input, had long frustrated the population. By the early 20th century, calls for political representation and economic reforms began gaining momentum. The 1950s, the first steps toward political representation. The economic struggles of the early 20th century, combined with frustration over poor disaster relief and neglect from Britain, led to increased political activism in the British Virgin Islands. In the 1950s, Virgin Islanders began organizing for representation in their own government. The following milestones marked the beginning of self-governance. 1950, the first legislative council. The British government allowed the formation of a legislative council, giving local representatives limited power over internal affairs. 1954, the introduction of a new constitution. A revised constitution granted greater autonomy, although British officials retained ultimate authority. Late 1950s, the rise of political movements. Leaders such as Theodolf Faulkner and Howard Penn emerged, advocating for increased political control and economic reforms. The struggle for economic independence. Even as political representation increased, economic struggles continued to hinder the progress of the British Virgin Islands. The territory remained heavily reliant on British aid, and the lack of a strong, diversified economy made self-sufficiency difficult. The decline of agricultural exports. By the mid-20th century, the agricultural sector was no longer a viable source of economic stability. The small population and harsh climate made large-scale farming unsustainable, and competition from larger Caribbean economies led to a decline in agricultural exports. Tourism and financial services, a new path forward. Recognizing the need for economic diversification, local leaders began exploring alternative industries. By the 1960s and 1970s, the British Virgin Islands saw the rise of tourism. The natural beauty of the islands attracted visitors, leading to the development of hotels, resorts, and yacht chartering businesses. Offshore financial services. The introduction of offshore banking and company registration laws allowed the territory to become a significant financial hub, bringing in much-needed revenue. Conclusion: the resilience of the Virgin Islanders. Despite centuries of hardship, ranging from slavery and economic oppression to devastating hurricanes, the people of the British Virgin Islands demonstrated remarkable resilience. Through migration, political activism, and economic adaptation, they began forging a path toward greater self-governance and prosperity. By the late 20th century, the BVI was on the verge of a new era, one marked by a push for full autonomy, economic transformation, and global recognition. The following chapters will explore the final steps toward self-rule, the political struggles of the modern era, and the emergence of the BVI as a thriving economic center in the Caribbean. Chapter 8: The 20th Century and the Shift from Agriculture to Tourism. Introduction: A Century of Transformation. The 20th century marked a period of profound transformation in the British Virgin Islands, BVI, as the territory gradually shifted from an agriculture-based economy to one centered on tourism and financial services. This chapter explores the various economic, political, and social changes that shaped the BVI during this critical era, detailing the decline of traditional industries, the rise of new economic opportunities, and the struggles of the local population to adapt to a rapidly changing world. The decline of agriculture and the need for economic diversification. By the early 1900s, agriculture remained the primary economic activity in the British Virgin Islands. Crops such as sugarcane, cotton, and bananas had once fueled the island's economy, but by the mid-20th century, these industries were in steep decline. Several factors contributed to the collapse of agriculture. Soil depletion and overuse. Generations of monoculture farming had stripped the soil of essential nutrients, reducing yields and making it increasingly difficult to sustain large-scale agricultural production. Natural disasters. Hurricanes and droughts frequently devastated crops, causing repeated economic setbacks. Global competition. The BVI struggled to compete with larger agricultural producers in the Caribbean and beyond, leading to decreased export viability. Labor shortages. As more Virgin Islanders sought opportunities abroad, labor became scarce, further diminishing agricultural productivity. With traditional farming no longer a viable path to prosperity, the need for economic diversification became increasingly evident. The British government, recognizing the economic challenges facing the colony, began encouraging alternative industries that could sustain the territory in the long term. The rise of the tourism industry. In the 1950s and 1960s, the BVI began to capitalize on its natural beauty and idyllic climate, laying the foundation for what would become one of the most successful tourism industries in the Caribbean. Early development of tourism. The British Virgin Islands, with their pristine beaches, crystal-clear waters, and numerous secluded coves, were an ideal location for tourism. Several factors contributed to the industry's rapid growth. Improved transportation. Advances in air and sea travel made it easier for visitors to reach the islands. Yachting and sailing industry. The calm waters and steady trade winds attracted sailors and luxury yachts, establishing the BVI as a premier sailing destination. Luxury resorts and ecotourism. By the late 20th century, boutique hotels and eco-resorts catered to affluent travelers seeking exclusivity and natural beauty. Celebrity influence. As celebrities and wealthy individuals began visiting and investing in the islands, the BVI gained a reputation as a high-end retreat. Despite its success, the tourism industry faced challenges, including the need for infrastructure development, environmental concerns, and balancing growth with local interests. Nevertheless, it provided thousands of jobs and became the backbone of the BVI's modern economy. The emergence of financial services. While tourism was thriving, another industry was quietly taking shape: offshore financial services. By the 1980s, the British Virgin Islands had positioned itself as a leading offshore financial hub, attracting businesses and investors from around the world. Why did the BVI become a financial center? Several factors contributed to the BVI's rise in the offshore financial sector. Favorable tax laws. The BVI introduced legislation that allowed businesses to incorporate with minimal taxation, attracting foreign investors. Political stability. Compared to other Caribbean nations, the BVI provided a stable and reliable regulatory environment. Confidentiality and privacy laws. Investors valued the discretion offered by BVI's financial system. Legal infrastructure. The territory's legal system, based on British common law, ensured transparency and efficiency in financial transactions. By the late 20th century, financial services had surpassed tourism as the BVI's primary economic driver, generating significant revenue for the government and transforming the territory into a global financial hub. Political and social changes in the 20th century. As the economy evolved, so too did the political landscape of the British Virgin Islands. The second half of the 20th century witnessed key developments in governance, leading to greater autonomy and political representation for the local population. Steps toward self-governance. 1950, the first Legislative Council. The British government allowed the establishment of a Legislative Council, giving Virgin Islanders a voice in local affairs. 1967, ministerial government introduced. The BVI was granted greater self-governance, with elected officials taking on ministerial responsibilities. 1977, the first Chief Minister. Willard Wheatley became the first Chief Minister of the British Virgin Islands, marking a significant step toward political autonomy. 1980s to 1990s, calls for full autonomy. As the BVI's economy flourished, discussions about full self-rule became more prominent, though the territory remained a British overseas territory. These political changes, coupled with economic prosperity, empowered the local population, allowing Virgin Islanders to take greater control over their own future. Challenges and growing pains. While the BVI experienced economic and political progress, challenges remained. Income inequality. The rapid rise of financial services and tourism created wealth disparities, with some benefiting more than others. Environmental concerns. Tourism and development placed pressure on the island's natural ecosystems. Balancing growth with tradition. As modern industries expanded, maintaining cultural identity became a priority for many Virgin Islanders. Conclusion. The BVI on the brink of a new era. The 20th century saw the British Virgin Islands undergo a remarkable transformation from a struggling agricultural economy to a global financial hub and premier tourism destination. Through resilience, strategic economic planning, and political advancements, the BVI successfully navigated the challenges of modernization while preserving its unique heritage. As the 21st century approached, the BVI faced new questions. How could it sustain economic growth without compromising its environmental integrity? What role would the British government continue to play? And how would the people of the Virgin Islands shape their own future? The next chapter will explore the modern era of the British Virgin Islands, detailing the successes, challenges, and ongoing journey toward full autonomy and sustainable development.